As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grape seed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com, danasbeats.com.
Republicans played a dangerous and risky partisan game, and I am glad that their brinksmanship did not work. For the good of America's families, for the good of our economy, Republicans must recognize in the future they should approach fixing the debt limit in a bipartisan way. What is needed now is a long-term solution, so we don't go through this risky drama every few months. And we hope Republicans will join in enacting a long-term solution to the debt limit in December. We're ready to work with them. Leader McConnell and Senate Republicans insisted they wanted a solution to the debt ceiling, but said Democrats must raise it alone by going through a drawn-out, convoluted, and risky reconciliation process.
Well, that was a joke there from Chuck Schumer. My favorite part of that was Joe Manchin behind him shaking his head and putting his head in his hands. That's my favorite part of that soundbite. Yeah. I mean, it's the best. Welcome to the radio show. It's good to be with you. DanaLash.com. It's Friday. And some things to unpack here. I hope that you make sure you subscribe, chapter and verse. I'm going to tell you this every single day, repeatedly, because a lot of effort goes into that. And there's a lot of good information that you're not going to get anywhere else. There's things that we talk about on the show and things I put in the newsletter that later on in the week, everybody else finally gets to.
Yeah.
And that's typical. So to give you the lay of the land, the latest, the Senate voted for a brief extension. Everything's going to come up to pass in coming up in December. So December is going to be a nightmare. It's going to be just a nightmare. So this, and I have the names of the Republicans, too, that voted for this. So Joe Manchin had buried his head in his hands. And then afterwards, so after Chuck Schumer gave this little Senate speech where he attacked Republicans for the debt ceiling, he said it was blanking stupid, is what he told him. And he told reporters that Schumer's remarks were not appropriate. He said, "I'm sure Chuck's frustrated, but that was not a way to take it out. We just disagree. I'd done it differently. Civility is gone." That's a direct quote from Joe Manchin. So he confronted Chuck Schumer right after. I mean, it's just so epic. He just puts his, I mean, Joe Manchin is everybody at this point, just where everybody's putting their head in their hands. It's just a mess. Can you imagine suspending the debt? I mean, can you imagine suspending your debt ceiling? I'm just curious. Can you imagine just getting a pass because you're Congress? So all this happens is September's jobs numbers come up short. They come up really short. It's actually none of this looks good. In fact, not a single bit of this is good. So you have the unemployment rate at 4.8% dropping to 4.8%. Fewer 200,000 jobs just in September alone. That's the Bureau of Labor Statistics support. We didn't even get to half of what the economists wanted to see. And that was actually lower than the first part of the year. They said, only 100, barely 200,000 jobs got created. Participation rates are well below. They're pretty low. I mean, this is bad. I'm looking at some of the data that was released this morning from BLS. And so the number of, I mean, this is, well, I mean, honestly, I wonder how much of this, how much of it is people who are like, I don't want to go work if I'm going to have to get injected. I would think that actually is fairly significant. So especially when people were getting paid to stay home, et cetera. And they're like, well, why would I? Now I don't want to get. And even if they had it or not, maybe they don't want to get the injection. So is that jobless rates higher? Businesses, maybe, I think they want to hire, and I think that they want to increase wages. But when you look at the data and what businesses are planning for, the labor market's tight, you got supply chain disruptions, there's taxes coming. I mean, you're creating a perfect storm to prevent businesses from feeling comfortable enough to actually go through that whole hiring and hire the people that they need. So, you know, there it is. We're going to talk more about some of these numbers. The other things that we're looking at, a few other things here, is the latest with education. Remember, we told you Merrick Garland's son-in-law was working for an educational firm.
Co-founder.
Yeah, co-founded it and was data mining your kids. And they're big CRT folks. Just a little bit coincidental. And there's going to be, as we spoke with Senator Josh Hawley yesterday, there's apparently, I guess he's going to go before the Senate in a few weeks. It feels like that should be now. Let's expedite this a bit. Let's have this expedited. So the ongoing education fight, you had Terry McAuliffe panicking because he was asked by a black journalist to define CRT and he couldn't. And then he just decided to call all Virginia parents racist because that's who he is. Listen to this. This is crazy.
So how do you define it?
Anita, it is not taught here in Virginia.
But how do you define it?
Doesn't matter. It's not taught here in Virginia, so I'm not going to spend my time.
Your thoughts on what it is.
I'm not even spending my time because the school board and everyone else has come out and said it's not taught. It's racist. It's a dog whistle.
But if we don't have a definition, how can we say it's racist? I just want a definition from you.
It's not taught here in Virginia. We can ask about any topic. Here's what I've said all along, and it really bothers me. You know, it really bothers me. This whole idea of stirring parents up to create divisions. Our children are going through such challenges today because of COVID, and we're talking about something here today, wasting precious viewers' time.
Jeez. So you can't define it, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So that's a no, you can't define it. Okay. All right. Well, we understand that. You can't define it. Okay. I get it. But then to sit here and suggest that it's everybody else who has the problem. And it is there. They think that because it's not officially titled critical race theory, that that's not what it is. Like if you're teaching about evolution and it's not, everything's not specifically titled evolution, then it's not what it is. These people are ridiculous. So not going well for them, not going well for any of these education bureaucrats who have been completely trying to take, I mean, really fighting parents for sovereignty of their kids. Listen to this. This came out. This is crazy. New York City's hiding its K through 12 enrollment decline. So there is a major decline in school enrollment in New York City. A lot of people are homeschooling. A lot of people are leaving. So they're hiding the numbers. That's a problem. New York Daily News said that de Blasio admitted he wasn't able to produce the actual number of enrollment. He said he wasn't able to do it. And so the New York Daily News concluded that, quote, the city's Department of Education is hiding important information about school enrollment and attendance. They don't want to share it with you. This is ridiculous. You're being gaslit so bad. Now, a couple of other things here to get into. I had a piece up on the, and we're going to talk about this here more later. I had a piece up later on Substack about how bullies aren't victims. So now, you know, we talked about Dave Chappelle's thing, The Closer, yesterday. Well, predictably, you have all of these activists or whatever, I don't know, every single kind of activist you can imagine, I guess. They're all coming out. They're saying that all of his stuff ought to be pulled off of Netflix, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to, newsflash, and this shouldn't be obvious. If you have the ability to cancel people from society, if you have the ability to cancel people from the economy, if you have the ability to cancel people, period, from their jobs or anything else, you are not the victim. You're the oppressor. That's the entire point that they prove. The entire point that they prove. This idea that you're not allowed to disagree is garbage. You can like treat people nicely and yet refuse to be bullied into denying your biological existence as a sacrifice for cultural acceptance. And by the way, that point is made in his show, which I think was more of storytelling than it was actual stand-up, but that's beside the point. So you have all of these Marxist rage mobbers who are mad at him because their bullying and their inconsistency was laid bare on an international stage. One of those people is a white dude. Do not, and I will, for everybody out there, for any drive-bys, I will not at all have my speech controlled by the progressive patriarchy. I'll burn more than a bra. Just saying. Will not have my speech controlled by the progressive patriarchy. So you have a white dude who runs this show. He's a showrunner for, what is it called? Dear White People. A white dude who is the showrunner for a show called Dear White People. And he's trying to get a black dude canceled. I just want to lay that out on the table. Is that weird to anybody else?
It's a dude.
Okay. Have you seen it?
I have.
It's a dude. He's a dude. I mean, I'm just saying this, but it just, you know, racism, isn't that how that usually goes? We're going to talk about the wokery. We've got a bunch of stuff coming up. Also, the latest with some coronavirus stuff. Afghanistan, dozens of American children are trapped there still. We have that for you and so much more you don't want to miss. As you age, the fatigue and failing endurance you feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. So introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat that can give you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews' unique clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers and get free shipping, free returns, and a 90-day money-back guarantee. And right now, you can get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So, a few things here. I was watching this headline yesterday evening. 11 sailors were injured as a U.S. nuclear attack submarine collided with an unknown object in the South China Sea amid rising tensions with Beijing over Taiwan. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. Even though it was in South China Sea and there are rising tensions with Taiwan and it was most likely something to do with China, I'm not going to lie to you. My first thought was water aliens. I was like, ocean aliens. It's what it is totally. I couldn't help it. It was just like this reflexive thing. I thought it. Anyway, they said the U.S. Pacific Fleet reported on Thursday. Yesterday, USS Connecticut hit an object in the Indo-Pacific region. It was said that the sub's nuclear propulsion system was not damaged, and it was investigating. One report said 11 sailors were injured when the collision with an unknown object, The Navy offered no further details about the submarine's operations because why would they? News of the accident emerged on the same day that it was revealed that troops have been training Taiwanese forces for the past year. I think it's probably longer than the past year. Thursday, the CIA announced a China mission center to focus on the threat from Beijing. It's what they announce and what they don't announce. That's what it's all about. Let's see. Bobby Flay is leaving the Food Network after 27 years. I didn't know he was with them for that long. Bobby Flay. He's getting the Irish goodbye. He's reportedly chopping ties. Apparently, they were going back and forth over finances, et cetera, et cetera. So he's leaving Food Network. Does that mean that there's room for our Frosted Tips profit there? What's his name? He's got a Guy Fieri.
Fieri.
He's got a restaurant not far from me. I mean, everything's fried, but that's okay because it's really the only way to kind of prepare food sometimes. All right. So Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He has He literally used the latest sexual identities acronym, and it's made up of 11 characters. Guys, he tweeted this on October 5th. He said people across the country are lighting candles to honor Indigenous women, girls, and now here we go, 2SLGBTQQIA+. Why are there two Qs? I'm going to just interrupt myself. Can I come back to this? Because I feel like...
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I feel like I needed to have a discussion about why there's two Qs. So anyway, there's 11, and he actually officially used it. So there we have it. We also told you that the Senate voted to pass that temporary debt ceiling increase, essentially. They passed that. It was late last night. We're going to have more information coming up on that. Also, this Guilford GOP school board manager says that helping children of color feel like they belong. They said that it... Now, this is not the way to talk about this stuff. Said that helping children of color feel like they belong hurts white kids. Okay, this is not... No, be quiet. Stop. That's not... By the way, interestingly enough, there's this huge debate on gifted programs because now Mayor Bill de Blasio, who's on her, decided they've announced that they're cutting all gifted programs in New York City schools. All gifted programs. And apparently the reason why is because it promotes privilege. We're going to talk about this because that's not at all like the purpose of any of that. So we're going to have that conversation here. But you had to know that headline. That's pretty unbelievable. Also, there is DHS reviewing agency failures that led to a surprise surge of Haitian migrants at the border. They knew, they just didn't do anything about it, according to NBC. We kind of knew that as well. That's, you know, not everything. Diaper shortage hits the United States amid the COVID pandemic and supply chain issues. Many American families are having a hard time finding diapers for their babies. One in three American families are in need of the diapers. This is a big thing. Buy diapers, I guess. Well, maybe don't do that. Maybe don't do that. Are they going to start like rationing those out? Like some people's kids eat a lot. Like I just feel like I have to say that. So now it's affecting the diapers. I'm going to tell you what. You're going to see like new parents with newborns. You're never going to feel a rage like that. Actually, they're going to be really way too tired. But when they do have the energy, you're not going to feel a rage like that. So they need to get this solved. We have a lot more on the way. Global coronavirus deaths have been declining. And the New York Times has a major, major correction with COVID. Wait until I share that. Stay with us. Dana here. My listeners know I've been known to enjoy a glass of wine or two. So let me tell you about my new favorite wine club that no one's heard of before. My friends at Bonner Private Wines have put together the world's first extreme altitude wine club. And one of them almost died trying to find these wines. It's one of my best kept secrets. I have a lot of secrets. But if you like wine, I want you to give these a try. They come from these remote vineyards in Argentina up at 9,000 feet, which is actually the most isolated wine region in the world, did you know? Pop open a bottle and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, a little dark cherry. And the best part is you're not paying these inflated prices that traditional big box wine makes you pay. There's no middleman. So if you enjoy wine, if you'd like to taste wine as it truly should taste, visit conservativewines.com. My listeners will get 50% off of their wine and 50% off of shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
My administration is now requiring federal workers to be vaccinated. We've also required federal contractors to be vaccinated. If you have a contract with the federal government working for the federal government, you have to be vaccinated. We're requiring active duty military to be vaccinated. We're making sure healthcare workers are vaccinated because if you seek care at a healthcare facility, you should have the certainty that the people providing that care are protected from COVID and cannot spread it to you.
What? That, I'm way confused. That's POTUS. He had a speech. What is it? Earlier, it was a mess. It's just a mess of a speech. Welcome back to the show. He needs to stay in his, I was thinking what to call that stage thing that he made. The Truman Show stage. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back to the show. It's Friday. Dana Lash here. Good to be with you on this Friday. And a lot of stuff to discuss on this Friday. I still have no idea most of the time what our president is saying. Audio Sunday 2. I'm not quite sure what this... Just listen.
Jeez. Also, we've got state leadership here. Lieutenant Governor Julius here, Stratton, and the Ohio, Pennsylvania... The Ohio, Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania.
What?
The Illinois president of the Don Harmon, State Senator Laura Murphy, State Rep... Martin Moylan, and we got great labor leaders here too. Tim, where's Tim? There you go, Tim. Thank you, pal. AFL-CIO state president, and Jeff Isaacson, United Brotherhood of Carpenters, and Don Finn, IBEW, and Robert Reiter, Reiter. You know, if I can digress for just a second, last night I was on the television. I was on the telephone. You know. Any rate.
What the hell was I listening to?
Yeah.
Did we accidentally just get drunk?
Unfortunately, no.
I can't follow what he says. Can we look, dude? If Trump had been talking like this, I would have been all. Can we have a talk? For real. Can we have a talk? Optics matter. You realize that when you are dealing with other, when you're dealing with strongmen, when you're dealing with tyrants like in Russia or tyrants in, you know, China, communist, you realize that a lot of this is optics and you got to, you know, be a little tough about this stuff and you can't be doing like what this stuff, you know what I mean? Like you can't look weak. You cannot look weak. And you can't look senile. You just can't. So this just does not, I don't like the leader of our country to look weak at all whatsoever. I don't. And it just, it bothers me because he just sounds, he's all over the place. That wasn't the only soundbite that he had. This is the only soundbite that we had like that either. What did he say? There was another one. He did this. Audio soundbite 3. Keep in mind that Fox News is headquartered in New York, so they had to go by this, but listen.
Even this, I always get a kick out of. Fox News. Fox News requires vaccinations for all employees.
Because they're in.
Give me a break. Fox News.
Why does he do that? Is that supposed to be his version of vocal italics?
Creepy.
It's creepy, dude.
Yeah.
But it is because they're in Manhattan. They're in Midtown. They had to. They completely had to. Jiminy Christmas. So yeah, I'm telling you, the whole thing. I don't know. I don't understand what the vision of the administration is. I don't understand what they're doing. Like, for instance, you realize that there technically is no vaccine mandate, right? So all these employers who are doing this, you guys don't actually have to do this right now. You know this, right? There's nothing that's legally binding. All it was a press release. Is everybody aware of that? Right? I mean, you know that there's they have not even sent any paperwork for any kind of mandate to the White House's Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, which they have to in order to get approval. They haven't done that. OSHA, neither OSHA nor the Department of Labor have received any guidance at all whatsoever for the mandate. There is actually technically not even an executive order. It's just a press release. That's all they have. There is nothing there at all whatsoever that would make or force an employer to do this. They were all over the place with this, but it's all fake. It doesn't even exist right now. Maybe they'll submit it at some point, but they haven't yet. They have imposed an optic, right? They wanted an emergency temporary standard, an unusual rulemaking process. But the rule took like 6 months to issue, according to OSHA. Meanwhile, vaccine mandates, apparently, they will have, I guess, what, December deadlines for some of these companies telling their employers? So this is 4 months after the mandate was announced. And in order to go through the emergency temporary standard, the ETS rule that Biden is following, that takes like up to 6 months to go into effect after you get things through the Federal Register. So this is not even a law. There's absolutely no legal binding anything to this. It is just literally a press release. Now, one of the things that the Wall Street Journal noted is that OSHA, they've used, it's the ETS procedure, and they sometimes this is used instead of normal, the normal process to craft these sort of these federal rules, right? And it allows lawmakers to push these edicts through faster while circumventing any kind of public input at all whatsoever, which that's normally required at this level. And that's why there is, I mean, by and large, ETS rules never make it. They never survive after courtroom examination. They're always overturned. OSHA's used this, Wall Street Journal writes in September, they've used this authority 10 times, only 10 times in 50 years. There's only been one that the courts have upheld. So, yeah, because there's a federal vaccine mandate is illegal and unconstitutional. So David Rifkin and Robert Ault wrote in the Wall Street Journal, quote, the states have plenary power to regulate health and safety. Congress has only those limited powers enumerated in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8. That wouldn't include the authority to impose a $150 fine. That was the equivalent of the $5 from Jacobson v. Massachusetts that we've discussed and I wrote about over on Substack on an individual who declined to be vaccinated, much less to prevent him from earning a livelihood. But the thing is, though, is that everybody is now conditioned to think that they have to do whatever the administration says and that every single edict is binding law, and it's not. Stop acting like it. This is not, you're not breaking any kind of law. You're not doing anything. In fact, employers have less of a legal defense imposing this stuff now because they really can't actually blame it on Biden because it's not even a law. Biden screwed over all these employers. This is Bruce Atkinson, and this is from Monday, Wall Street Journal. The mandate's non-existence shields the Biden administration from legal challenges that may ultimately restrict the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's authority. Yet, the mandate is still effective at compelling industries and companies into compliance as it leaves room for any eventual issuance to target non-compliant entities. This implied cudgel is particularly effective on industries and companies that are dependent on federal spending or the goodwill of federal regulators. The non-existent mandate also allows so inclined state and local governments and companies to issue their own mandates, seemingly in lockstep with Washington. The Biden White House has been well served by presenting a non-existent mandate as a done deal. Huh. Pen and phone much? So you have no at all whatsoever mandate. Why are Republicans not challenging this more? Why are more of them not? Now, I know the AG here in Texas is, and I know the AG in Missouri is. And I'm wondering, where are all these other? I mean, Republicans need to be pushing back on this because Americans are suffering. Any lawmaker who has the ability to push back on this and is not doing it, I mean, for the crying out loud, I mean, there's nothing here. Good heavens. It's weak. If Republicans let Democrats go on with this, they deserve to lose, and this country goes to hell. Really. I mean, I'm just being honest. I still think this is also huge as it relates to this, I don't want to say vaccination, injection. How Finland and Sweden and Denmark, they're all restricting the Moderna vaccine for men under the age of 30 because they concluded that their risk of myocarditis, while still small, was still higher than the risk of severe coronavirus. Why can't we talk about this? If you bring this up here, you're censored on social media. It's crazy. And then you had Biden out there talking about this. This is what that stuff like that drives hesitancy. This is why people are hesitant. But Biden's like, he goes like, nope. He says people who haven't gotten the shot are damaging the economy. Jeez. When he was in Illinois, he was at Clayco Construction in Elk Grove Village. And he says, yeah. He's like saying that. And he was touting this Axios story where they were saying, oh, yeah, now all these people are vaccinated at these businesses. Yeah, because a lot of people got fired and a lot of people left. It's amazing when you coerce people and then you fire all of your unvaccinated workers. It really does change that ratio of vaccinated to unvaccinated in the workplace amongst employees, doesn't it? Herp derp. But to blame it on the unvaccinated is irresponsible. He is a hateful man. He really is. Just an absolutely hateful man. Let's go, Brandon. You guys know what that means?
Oh, yeah.
Does everybody know? So last week, what ended up happening is, what was it? It was at a college game, wasn't it?
I think it was a race of some sort.
We can't play
it. It was a car.
We cannot play it.
A NASCAR event or something.
Okay, yeah, yeah. And one of the racers, wasn't watching. We were dealing with our dog, but his first name was Brandon. But they weren't saying "Let's go, Brandon." They were saying "Blank, Joe Biden." That's why we cannot play this audio. It's like, I'd love to show it to you, but I can't because we'll totally get in trouble because it's super loud, and everybody with more than one brain cell can hear what they're saying. And everyone's going, "You know, blank Joe Biden," and the reporter, I guess, is trying to say, I don't know what she was doing. She was like, "Oh, listen to him. You can hear him. They're saying, 'Let's go, Brandon.'" And that's not what they were saying. So now, let's go Brandon. So, you know, it was short for, you know, Joe Biden. And that's, so if you see it anywhere, that's what it's about. So let's go Brandon. Woo. All right. There you go. All right. We got more to come, folks. As we have Florida Man that's going to be coming up. And, well, not this hour, not coming up next hour. But we have a lot still to get into because this headline from the Atlantic, America's running out of everything. Patience should be number one. That's kind of my thought. And will Biden ever apologize to the border agency smeared? No, it's a rhetorical question. But again, let's play. What if Trump said it, right? So we're going to get into all that and a lot more. You don't want to miss a single part of the program today. It's a very busy Friday. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KeltecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KeltecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mr. Mayor, thanks for the passport into town. I tell you, every time I come to the greater Chicago area, there's somebody I want to steal and bring back to Washington, Gov. I've done it a couple times.
That would be called child trafficking, dude. Right. That's kind of what that is.
Also,
it's
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, and also she's a chick. I know. She's a chick. Just saying. That's POTUS. Welcome back to the show. I have to tell you, so I always do like our bumper music, right? And trying to like get, you know, October stuff figured out and all this. It's been a little crazy with our pup. And Spotify, I'm about to punch in the face. This is when I wish I could physically burn something down. Because you know how all these apps now, they're asking, oh, well, when you update your iOS and all this stuff, I wait till the last minute, stop it. And then all the apps are like, can we track you? And you say no. So Spotify doesn't give you that option. Spotify is like, choose. And then it does not actually give you a choice. It's just the button that says choose. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. You didn't know that? I'm like, I'm about to rage at my phone right now.
Is that location?
Dude, or, no.
Okay,
no.
All right, just
no, it's because... like, it legit will not let me block it from tracking me. I don't want you to have no business tracking me.
Right.
Just because I want to use your stupid app. I'm not, look, I would rather pay like a fee like for any other regular app so I don't have to have you track me. What I do is none of your, it says you're in control. Allow tracking to receive relevant. I don't want any of your stupid promotions. All of your music selections suck compared to my tastes. They suck. I don't want any of your marketing messages. And then it says, look, just choose. You don't get an option.
What's that fine print down there?
Spotify's privacy policy.
Oh.
I don't want to choose, though. God. I don't want any of your garbage. You know why? Because it's garbage. It's garbage. That's why. I'm not going to sit here and be tracked by people whose musical tastes are so far below my own. Not going to happen. We got a lot more on the way, y'all. You don't want to miss more of the program, more of the Dana Show. It's... Well, I was going to say something Friday, but I decided I can't say that because it wouldn't be good. It's Friday. That's all you need to know. We're back after this. Stay with us. Dana here. My listeners know I've been known to enjoy a glass of wine or two. So let me tell you about my new favorite wine club that no one's heard of before. My friends at Bonner Private Wines have put together the world's first extreme altitude wine club. And one of them almost died trying to find these wines. It's one of my best kept secrets. I have a lot of secrets. But if you like wine, I want you to give these a try. They come from these remote vineyards in Argentina up at 9,000 feet, which is actually the most isolated wine region in the world, did you know? Pop open a bottle and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, a little dark cherry. And the best part is you're not paying these inflated prices that traditional big box wine makes you pay. There's no middleman. So if you enjoy wine, if you'd like to taste wine as it truly should taste, visit conservativewines.com. My listeners will get 50% off of their wine and 50% off of shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com.
In total, the job creation in the first 8 months of my administration is nearly 5 million jobs. Jobs up, wages up, unemployment down. That's progress. And it's a tribute to the hard work and resilience of the American people.
What? So I know that the president, first off, welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Your friend Dana here. Hi. Let's talk some trash. Get some tea. Welcome to the program. Happy Friday. So I know that the president is speaking, but I'm not taking it. You know why? Because I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. Now, normally, if he's saying something important, I thought, well, you know, I guess I'll take it. I'm not. Because I know I'll have at least one or two people who ask. And that's the reason is because. He's lying to you. Do you want to hear any of the lies? You don't want to hear any of that. You want to hear like the actual state of the country? Okay, that's what I thought. So that's what we're here to do. Make sure that you sign up for that newsletter because you can get all kinds of natural state of the country information over on my Substack. You can access it through danalash.com. Yeah, Biden says the unemployment drop signals that the recovery is really moving forward. Yeah. Except no, it's not though. I mean, we were talking about this just a little bit earlier. We're like a lot of jobs short. Only 190 something thousand jobs created? Yeah, that's it. Well, less. Oh, you know what I just realized? He's on his weird Truman stage.
Yeah.
Dude, he's on his weird Truman stage speaking. So he left without taking questions again on his weird Truman stage. Well, I don't get this. This is so weird, right? Do you ever remember a president who like built his own little set across the street from the White House and just like didn't go there? Never went to the White House? Is there a reason for this? Seriously, I mean, is there? Like, what's the point of this? Kane, any ideas?
Don't have a clue.
Is there something wrong with the Oval Office? Are there ghosts?
I don't know. Like yesterday, I thought there may be stairs to the Oval Office he can't handle. I'm not really
sure. Don't they have elevators in that? In the White House?
Escalators? I have no idea. No idea.
Yeah, he was on his Truman Show stage. I just think that's weird, man. It's just weird. Left without taking questions. Again. Well. There you have it. He said it was weird because analysts are saying that the fall in unemployment is basically driven by declining labor participation. And there's a number of things that, you know, the reason why we have a declining, we have this decline in labor participation, and yet they're trying to make it like it's a great thing. This is a great thing, guys. And it's weird because everyone was saying, and I wasn't the only person that picked this up. The editor of the Free Beacon even just tweeted this. Small bone to pick. All the news networks said that Biden spoke from the White House when he actually spoke from the fake set the White House built across the street. Why is he on a set? What's wrong with the White House? Right? Let's see how many people get mad at that. This is just weird. Why is he on a weird, kooky little set? And then he's telling you, well, it's okay that we've only created, you know, barely any jobs. It's totally fine. It's just it's a sign of our progress. Everything's going as planned. I wanted to totally destroy everything. It's going as, he goes, jobs are up, wages are up, unemployment's down. That's progress. Oh my gosh. Do you have this, Kane? Here, I need that in my life. Play it. I need this in my life. I felt this. Play it. Do it. Do it.
Wages up, unemployment down.
I just want this bit.
That's progress.
That's it. How is that progress? How is that progress? I'm trying to think of like what other ways I can. Man, let's go Brandon, right? Woo.
Run through the top line numbers for you here, John, because it's a real brain teaser. 194,000 net new jobs added, way less than anybody expected, and less than last month and the worst of the year.
Jeez.
Progress. Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Golly. So he has his own little... Somebody said the set's at a nursing home. For real, though. Like, what is up?
Is the person pulling the strings in the White House? The one that's actually doing all the thinking and decision-making actually in the White House while he's on his set just taking orders?
I don't know. Like, he... Is someone else in the White... Like, if he's on in the nursing home set, then who is in the White House? Kane, I'm going to need my tinfoil. Kane, I'm going to need my tinfoil, man. I just need to keep it over here. It's live radio. It's television magic. Oh, my gosh. Now it's a... So I'm not saying that it's a conspiracy theory. But that's my tinfoil. But I am saying that it's a... I got some conspiracy theories, okay? It's time for conspiracy theory time. It's... What did we call it? Searching out the sus. Is that
searching
what you... Searching for the sus. Oh, no, searching for sus. Sorry. I'll get it right at one of these times. Searching for sus. And I'm telling you, you should have that like totally bookmarked. I have questions about this weird little set. I got questions about it. Huh?
Give me 5 seconds. I've got it.
I got questions about the set because sometimes it has windows in it. And sometimes, now he just has this Build Back Better. And all it shows It just shows like weird pictures of stuff. Here's a highway, build back better. Here's a guy that looks like he's at a solar panel. Build back better. Environmental Job Corps. Build back better. Build back better. My friend David Limbaugh said, Biden's speech is like someone beating the hell out of you and then bragging that they just gave you a massage. It's true. It's true. So, why, if he's there on his fake set, then who is in the White House? Who's in the White House? If he's on this weird set, just asking, why is he on the set? What's wrong with the White House? Is it haunted? Is he in the basement of the White House? Someone said that you have to be elected before they let you in. Someone else said it was at a nursing home. But it is very weird. But he says it's progress. And then he shuffled away behind his set. Where do they take him after he walks off his set? Where do they take him after this? It's just weird. Am I right? I don't know what's happening. It's just odd. Okay. I want to get into some of our others, but it's weird. It's a weird thing, man. It's a weird, every time I see it, and it's, and nobody's light looks like that out of the window. First off, nobody's windows are that clean. I think that's sus. If your windows are that clean, there's something wrong with you. Now let's look at some of these other things. So, like I said, I wrote about this earlier, some of the wokery. Bullies aren't victims. So now critics are blasting Dave Chappelle for his Netflix series. People who didn't watch his sixth and final special are complaining about his sixth and final special. I thought it was actually more storytelling than it was even stand-up. But his jokes were, I mean, pretty jaw-dropping. I didn't agree with everything he said. But I don't have to. That's not the point. That's the thing. This... And like I said yesterday, half of the fun of this was watching the audience's reaction because Chappelle was trying to like jump over their socially conditioned barriers and provoke them to laugh with just purposefully designed absurdity, right? There's, like I said, you know, being offended is not the news. Nobody is forcing any of these people to, don't they have remote controls? TV's got remote controls. Your viewing device has a remote control. And I can tell that not a single one of these people watched it because I actually thought he'd bent over backwards and was even too accommodating when separating people from their bullying behavior. But nobody cares. It's a comedy show. It's comedy. There are no sacred cows in comedy. Some of his jokes were directed towards Republicans, some at white women. I'm there to laugh. If you're going to come at me with a joke, you best make me laugh. And he did. He offended everybody. That's the whole point. He offended everybody. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite. And I think this really, this is audio sound by 10. This really kind of encapsulated all of it. Listen.
A lot of the LGBTQ community doesn't know the baby's history. He's a wild guy. He once shot a and killed him in Walmart. Oh, this is true. Google it. The baby shot and killed a in Walmart in North Carolina. Nothing bad happened to his career. Do you see where I'm going with this? In our country, you can shoot and kill a nigga, but you better not hurt a gay person's feelings.
He's right. That was his entire point. That was his whole point. I mean, there are people who are angrier over him hurting somebody's feelings than they are over somebody who lost their life in a Walmart. Oh, man. And that's the thing, because you have people who are conflating protected class with sainthood. That's the problem. Offending someone is a capital offense. You're driven to economic death, you're either driven to social death, or you're driven to actual death, like Chappelle was talking about with his friend who got dragged on Twitter for defending him. Now, I don't think, just to state too, I don't think that any conservative, myself included, believes that Chappelle is like some sort of potential politically conservative ally in the cause of policy promotion. There's just a very simple and obvious way to look at this. Common sense becomes obvious when things get so partisan and ridiculous. That's it. And by the way, he was one of the very few people to stop and ask women how they felt in all of this with the transgender issue. He said, when he was talking about this, that he goes, I'm team turf. And he said, gender is a fact. You got to look at it from a woman's perspective. He was talking about Caitlyn Jenner. He goes, I met Caitlyn Jenner. Wonderful person. He said, Caitlyn Jenner was voted woman of the year. First year as a woman. Ain't that something? Saying better than all of you. Never even had a period. That does make me mad. My friend Kira Davis wrote, trans women can only be women if women aren't women. And that's absolutely right. Womanhood being erased by men looking to be accepted as women. Talks about how women, you know, went and created our own leagues, clubs, and events. When we wanted to play and enjoy sports like dudes, we knew we couldn't physically compete with men. Didn't mean we should be pushed out of enjoying athletics. Now you got teenage girls forced to compete against boys, and if they speak up about the unfairness, she writes, they're silenced, threatened, and even suspended from their teams. Instead of being heard, women are told to shut up. The men are talking. And that's right. The trans movement, she writes, is moving to declare womanhood an abnormality. Here's the thing. You can love people while treating them kindly, but yet absolutely refuse to be bullied into denying your own biological existence as a sacrifice for cultural acceptance. That was his whole point. And like I said, oppressed people do not have the power to get people canceled from society or their jobs or cancel women from their choice of sport. Oppressors do. That's the whole thing. All these people who are mad, it seems like the easier solution is for them to change the channel, but bitching gets you clicks. And that's what they want more than anything else. They don't want change. They want clicks. Wrong C.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
We got to have that track when it's not in the headlines. I love the beginning of that jam. The video is great. It's an oldie but a goodie. Okay, all right. Let's get to it. So, high-earning men are likely to get married and stay married, says a new study. Sad news for sugar babies. So, study published in Evolution and Human Behavior September edition found that high-income dudes are more likely to marry, less likely to divorce, and more likely, if they do divorce, they're more likely to like remarry and are less likely to be childless. Using census data from 2014, they also found that for women, income was not associated with the probability of marriage. High income was actually associated with a higher probability of divorce and a lower probability of having children. Very interesting. Oh, I have so many thoughts on this. Lots of thoughts on this, just saying, but very interesting. So, and also, still, a lot of dudes are not wanting to go to college now because I have the whole piece that I've been saving because we're going to talk about it at some point about like how people feel, especially like Gen Z and some younger millennials, they feel kind of lost. I don't know. And maybe not all of them do, but I'm just saying no one can be more lost than Gen X. I'm just going to lay that out there. Sleepy Joe, remember when I told you handed Putin the bargaining chip using to hold Europe ransom in a gas crisis? So the green light. Now there's more renewed attention on Nord Stream 2 because the EU has now turned to Putin to help because their supplies are low. Their gas supplies are low as economies are reopening, driving prices up, and they've asked Putin to help, but supplies have been held back. But now Russia's energy ministers suggested maybe Nord Stream 2 could get the gas flowing, maybe carry an extra supply. What did I tell you? What did I tell you about that? Of course he's going to use it to fully and totally undermine NATO. Idaho's lieutenant governor bans mask mandates when the governor was out of state. I think it was funny. The GOP governor, Brad Little, was in Texas. He said that he bans vaccine mandates. He said he's going to rescind the order upon return. So we're going to talk some about some of the Rona stuff here coming up. Stay with us.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome.
Listen, follow, subscribe.
The Dana Show.
More people are getting vaccinated. More lives are being saved. Let's be clear. When you see headlines and reports of mass firings and hundreds of people losing their jobs, look at the bigger story. I've spoken with Scott Kirby, CEO of United Airlines, who's here today. United went from 59% of their employees to 99% of their employees in less than 2 months after implementing the requirement. 99%.
Guys, when you fire all the people who aren't vaccinated, your vaccination rate goes sky high. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. That's exactly what Robert Runsey in Broward County School District, that's the math he used to bring down the school district's crime rate to get federal money. He's like, if I stop counting the crimes, then they go down. That's literally what he did.
Also his unemployment tactic.
I mean, you know, they went from 59% of their employees vaccinated to 99% because they fired people. You clown. They fired people.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
See, telling you what. This is crazy spooky math. These people are crazy. Yes, you know, when you get rid of people, the vaccination rates go up. It's crazy. All right, can we talk about some wokery? We're going to talk about some Rona stuff here too, but let me get some of this wokery out of the way. I got more wokery for you. Mm-hmm. So, two things. Actually, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 things. One of them includes they're trying to get woke with the Salvation Army. I'm going to touch on that in a minute because now I'm fixing to throw some hands or flip-flops, is like my family would do. Beat you with a shoe. How desperate are you? Like when you don't have any other thing you can use, you just use your shoe. It's all the adults in my family. All right, so and again, I do not allow the progressive patriarchy to control my language, so don't. So the person that's leading the boycott of Dave Chappelle's thing, of his specials on Netflix, is a white male who identifies as a woman. So a white dude wants to cancel a black dude. Huh. Go ahead and run with that, Variety. Go ahead. Y'all go ahead and run with this. Wow. The guy is the showrunner for White Like Me. And I have to tell you, if you read the Twitter thread, where if you look at that, because it was trending for a while, and there were a lot of people who were like, wait, what? Why? Someone said, if like me, and these are like people from, across the spectrum of ideologies, and you have people going, well, if like me, you've been wondering why so much new content marketed to black audiences feels off and unrelatable, there's a big old clue right here. This is the rule, not the exception. That's Terrain Walker, who is the founder and editor of Context Media. And it's about how the Dear White People showrunner, a white man, announced Wednesday that he's going to be boycotting Netflix over Dave Chappelle's special. What? Yeah. By the way, didn't that show get canceled? I had no idea that it was a show about, black families, and it was written by a white dude. Right? I don't know. It's the Dear White People, I think. Yeah. The Dear White People. I've never, barely heard of that show. So I don't really know anything about it. But I just feel like that's a lead that's buried. Right? It now a lot of people are speaking out about how the showrunner for White Like Me, the showrunner for Dear White People is a white dude who is now trying to get a black dude canceled. Just going to put that out there, lay that out there for everybody. Because it's kind of, now here's more, I have more. So Sarah Silverman is kind of I think she's a moron. She is so ridiculous. She's tried coming at me before and she's was not successful. And in fact, she had to correct a lot of the stuff she said. So don't come at me, best not miss. Tony Shalhoub got into it with her. Now Tony Shalhoub what was that show? Monk? Yeah, that show. So she got mad because they cast a Catholic actress named Catherine Hahn to play Joan Rivers in a film about Joan Rivers. I kind of have a feeling that Joan Rivers would not care. She'd probably say, as long as the actress has a good rack or something like that, and that's probably be the only thing she'd say. Like, it's Joan Rivers. I mean, people who think that Joan Rivers is going to be offended over anything, God rest her soul, have never. I love Joan Rivers because she never GAF. She didn't care. She was not going to get into all the cancel culture stuff. In fact, she was like railing against it before she passed. So Silverman said she, because Shalhoub, who is Lebanese, he got mad at Silverman over this and said, what, are only mafia members allowed to play mobsters? That's like a stupid tack to take for Silverman. Like, didn't she get in trouble a whole bunch for some of the stuff she's done before? But they, I just don't think that Joan Rivers would be upset. But she, what she had said, she, Silverman had said that a Gentile playing Joan Rivers correctly would be, she said, and the phrase that she used was, quote unquote, Jew face. That's what she said. And I'm just like, what? She says, that's what it is. And she said, especially when representation matters. Is she having like career problems or something, Sarah Silverman? Because usually this is what happens when people have career problems and they play this card. So Tony Shalhoub took her to the woodshed and he slammed her characterization. And he said, are only mafia members allowed to play mobsters? And he says, I think any actors can play whatever they want because it's acting. He's like, we're actors. We're trained to not play yourself, to play characters. And he goes, so it's troubling to me that they're limiting actors. Duh, it's called acting. Oh my gosh. Who is it that has one of the best bits? I cannot say any of it. Bill, oh my gosh. He had a great stand-up about this. Oh my gosh. I can't even believe I can't think of his name. What? Thank you for the love.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, Bill Burr.
Bill Burr has a whole thing about this because remember they came at the guy who he was in Breaking Bad,
yeah.
The Malcolm in the Middle dad who went into Breaking Bad to sell meth,
yeah.
Right? Meth. And he played a guy in a movie with Kevin Hart and he was a guy in a wheelchair. He was a paraplegic. And apparently everybody got mad. And I don't even want to play Bill Burr's skit on this. It is, look, there are no sacred cows in comedy, okay? If you think there should be, you are part of the problem. But he did this whole thing where he was like, you know, they went at this actor because he wasn't actually paraplegic and he was playing a paraplegic. He's like, it's called acting. He's like, what are they going to do? Like, how did you prepare for this role? I mean, I can't even, I can't even get into it. But it's called acting. There are some people who are good actors. There are also some people who, if you see their name, now be real with me. You go to see a movie, and if you, like, say you're going to see an action movie, right? Say that you're going to go see, like, a spy movie or whatever. Are you going to go see a movie with an actor who you don't really know because it's all about representation more than anything else? I mean, forget the fact that it's a fake story and a fake character and all this other stuff. Somebody whose name you don't know, are you going to go and spend 2 hours, maybe plus, of your life watching this person act in a film? Or are you going to go with a tried and true name that you know, and you know they're a good actor, and you know they're going to deliver solidly on a character and a story? Because if you lie about picking number two, then you're a lying liar who lies. That's all there is to it. Nobody's going to do it. It's just so dumb. Stop it. This is so ridiculous. Who cares? Is she a good actress? That's what matters. Gosh, this is like so antithetical to what Joan Rivers would do. Joan Rivers would tell you to shut up in a totally unflattering way. It doesn't matter. Actors are actors. Okay, so now the Salvation Army is doing wokery. Yeah, Salvation Army is into the wokery. I love the Salvation Army. When we lived in St. Louis, always happy to help with the Red Kettle, all of that stuff. And when I homeschooled my kids, when we lived in St. Louis, we were part of a co-op where the Salvation Army was really sweet. And we got to use their facilities for like gym class and science labs. It was awesome. And we were more than happy to help out with their charitable stuff. And it was just great for the kids. And they do so much great work. So now apparently they've begun to promote political and racial ideologies under the banner of their International Social Justice Commission. And they have the leader of this, the general and international leader of the Salvation Army, because it was started in Britain, and it's a basically Christian outreach, Christian charity, but it's designed and structured like the military, right, with hierarchy and all that. And so they have an initiative called Let's Talk About Racism, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the guy's a Canadian, and he says they've got to overcome the damage racism has inflicted on the world. Let's talk about it, blah, blah, blah. And I was talking to someone for my separate hour of programming for the first, Christian Watson. He's a great podcaster and super nice guy. And his family works with the Salvation Army. They call themselves Salvationists. They work with the Salvation Army. His grandmother worked with them. Some of his other family members still do. And they said that they're sharing this stuff through emails and videos and presentations and all this stuff. And it's like the Be Less White program with Coca-Cola. And the problem with all of this stuff, because it's all CRT, it's all that theory. Here's the problem with it. So Christian principle, and this is why America is so cool, because it's kind of, well, supposed to operate by the same principle. So this is implementing something like this is antithetical to faith. And here's why. Because you're not supposed to center yourself around your ethnicity or even your sex. That's not what you center yourself around. Are you a child of God? Are you a member of the kingdom? That's it. That is your first and only identity. That's the only identity that matters. That's it. So pushing all of this other division is antithetical to the identity that you are told over and over in New Testament to embrace. And that's a problem. I see it happening a lot in churches too. And then you have that CRT, that Gnosticism that our friend Vody Bachum talks about, where it's like you can't know a true experience unless you are that experience, which is he takes issue with that as well as I do. And then, of course, we can't forget, I know we got a movement, but Justin Trudeau's sexual identities acronym. He tweeted that people across the country are lighting candles to honor blah, 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 2SLGBTQQIA. What is that? It's 11 letters. Did he like accidentally butt type? What happened? You know what I mean? What? So it's...
It's my router password.
It's a password. 2SLGBTQQIA+. I would just think that one Q is needed, right? Well, so wait a minute. This is what it stands for. Are you ready? So 2SLGBTQQIA+ stands for Two-Spirit, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer, Questioning, Intersex, Asexual, and all other sexual orientations and genders. Two-Spirit refers to a person who identifies as having both a masculine and feminine spirit. Here. I just totally got an oils and crystals vibe, right? Why? So I have a spirit that has frankenbeans, and then I have a spirit that doesn't have a frankenbeans.
But why are the spirits only two if all the other genders are hundreds?
That's actually a good point. Wait a minute. So why are... Wait,
you're limiting my spirit gender.
How dare your cis spirits... This is for real, though. Isn't that a cis spirit? See, they contradict themselves.
Those are cis spirits. Don't tell me what my spirit is.
It's a cis-spiracy. I don't know, man.
I'm 30 spirit.
Yeah, why is it only two? Why stop at two?
Right?
We got more to come, folks. We got a Florida man on the way. You don't want to miss it. Oh, man, as we get going, we've got our... Not going to get past this. It's not going to happen. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, and don't forget about Florida Woman, too. This comes by way of CBS Channel 12. A shirtless Florida woman tried to rob stores with body spray. Bonita Springs, Florida. Investigators say that a shirtless woman armed with body spray tried to rob two stores in Florida. She did not succeed. The Lee County Sheriff's Office arrested 53-year-old Laurie Oakes on a robbery charge. On Monday, deputies said that Oakes drove up to a McDonald's drive-thru in Bonita Springs, pulled out a bottle of body spray perfume, and tried to rob the place. The worker closed the drive-thru window, and Oakes left without any cash, because that's all it took, said the sheriff's office. 15 minutes later, she tried to rob a nearby Circle K, shirtless, armed with that same bottle of body spray, but she was again unsuccessful. And by shirtless, we mean she pulled her blue shirt over her head and then walked around with the body spray. They executed a search warrant at her home, where they found the body spray and the clothing that she had at the time of the robbery attempts. So don't be Laurie Oakes. Clearly, is she on, like, some, I don't know. Let's see. Florida man attacked his sister and bit a cop after someone touched his cigar. Actually a cigar. Not anything else. Suspect also tried to tip over a refrigerator and threw food, say Pinellas Park police. The man, 23-year-old Brian Keith Harrington, he got mad because he thought his sister's boyfriend had either moved or smoked one of his cigars. So he attacked the boyfriend, shoved his sister and other relatives, and they tried to calm him down. He went to the refrigerator and threw ketchup, a half gallon of juice, and other food containers at his sister. The sister's boyfriend declined to press charges. He remains in jail with bail set at $10,150. Don't touch that man's cigar. We got more to come, including a huge, huge New York Times correction on how they overreported children's hospitalizations with COVID. When do you hear this? Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, that everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit Legacy letter P, letter M, investments.com.
Some, you know, liberal think tank. Goldman Sachs, quote, vaccinations will have a positive impact on employment. It means less spread of COVID-19, which will help people return to work. Moody's on Wall Street. Vaccination means fewer infections, hospitalizations, and death. In turn, it means a stronger economy. One economist called vaccine requirements, and I quote, the single most powerful, he didn't say single, the most powerful economic stimulus ever enacted. And
That sounds kind of crazy. He's saying that this is having these vaccine mandates, the most powerful thing to stimulate the economy we could ever have in the world. That's so ridiculous. We know it's not true either. I think it's contributed to these very, very low numbers. The high jobless numbers, the low numbers of jobs created this past month. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. So Make sure, by the way, subscribe to the newsletter, and you can also download the Odyssey app to listen to the show that you're listening to now, 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Let me pull this up. New York Times. They had to issue a major correction yesterday after it came out that they severely misreported. That doesn't even really get into how severe the misreporting was. Really doesn't. After they severely misreported the coronavirus hospitalization rate with children in the U.S., they overreported the numbers by more than 800,000. A report headlined, "A New Vaccine Strategy for Children, Just One Dose for Now," was peppered with errors before major changes were made to the story. That's really bad. Right, well over 800,000. Now, the Times had reported initially that nearly 900,000 children have been hospitalized with COVID since the pandemic began, when the corrected version was, and remember, children can go up to age 18, 63,000, not 900,000. How did an error that large happen? How did that happen? The paper also screwed up the actions that are being taken by regulators in Sweden and Denmark. And they even screwed up timings for FDA meetings, etc. They did a lot. Oh, man. So, yeah, how did this happen? I'm just not quite sure how you make an error of that size. So they fired their They fired their coronavirus reporter. Now they have this person. And the correction, Phil Kirpin had the correction. It said an earlier version of this article incorrectly described actions taken by regulators in Sweden and Denmark. They have halted use of the Moderna vaccine in children. They have not begun offering single doses. The article also misstated the number of COVID hospitalizations in U.S. children. It is more than 63,000 from August 2020 to October 2021, not 900,000. In addition, the article misstated the timing of an FDA meeting, et cetera, et cetera. Apoorva Mandavilli is the reporter's name. She apparently won some award for excellence, which tells you about everything you need to know about awards. This is crazy. So how does that work? I mean, that's a significant number. So now you have this kind of incompetent reporting. There's no due diligence. Do you blame people? Do you want to know why media trust isn't, trust in media is at an all-time low? Nobody trusts any of this stuff. And of course, when they were talking about Finland and all of that, etc., Reuters in Helsinki noted that they stopped the use of that Moderna for men born in 1991 and later because of the rare cardiovascular side effect because of myocarditis. They said that the Nordic study that involved Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark found that men under the age of 30 who received the Moderna Spikevax had a slightly higher risk than others of developing myocarditis. That is according to Director Mika Salminen from the Health Institute. And it's heart muscle. It's the heart muscle inflammation. They said that as a precaution, Finland would only give it to. At first, they said Finland would only give Pfizer's vaccine to boys and young men. And so they said that what they were determining in a subsequent piece is that even if it is rare, they figured that it's still a larger, rare risk than getting severe coronavirus for that demo. That's incredibly significant. This is this kind of stuff that we really need to know. Now, there's a few other things to touch on here, too, because one of the things that I had brought up was this New York Gifted and Talented program. So Bill de Blasio unveiled a plan to replace the highly selective program which became a glaring symbol of segregation in New York City public schools for incoming students. He said he's going to overhaul New York City's gifted and talented education system. They said that it's racist, basically. That's what it is. And so they're not going to have kids. They're not going to have a gifted program. That's just pretty much it. They said that they're going to have a gradual elimination, and they're going to remove a major component of what people say is a two-tiered educational system. Oh, wow. Now, they say it's going to weaken instruction for kids. Here's the thing with not, and everyone's like, every child's gifted. Shut up. That's not what this is about. Some kids are smarter than other kids. Some kids learn differently than other kids. And that's just how it is. It's not a two-tiered system. It's making sure that we don't have a one-size-fits-all education. And it has nothing to do with stating that someone else is better than any other individual. Golly, everything is so dumb. And then you have Nicole Hannah Jones. She's the woman who got in trouble for making up, just literally making up stuff and calling it history, that even communist academics were saying, you're embarrassing to us, stop it. She was saying that all of our kids have gifts. All of them are worthy. No one, literally no one said that they weren't. That's not what any of this is about. I mean, this is, yeah, I mean, someone's like, yeah, you're gifted, all right. There are kids who have really benefited from this. And they're kids of all ethnicities and different ages throughout school. But it's like you can't have a one size fits all with everything. And you especially can't have it with education. A friend of mine, Carol Markowitz, she writes over at New York Post. She says, I have three kids. All of them have gifts. Not all of them need gifted education. That does not make them unworthy. Gifted education is absolutely necessary for some kids to thrive. It doesn't take away a single thing from those who do not need it. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. I mean, that's, you have public schools that spend money to test and place kids that have learning disabilities. So why can't you have the same effort for kids who excel in one subject over another? So when I was in school, I was horrible at math. And I had to have like special tutoring time for math. I was so bad at math. But I was in the advanced and I was in the gifted track for English and literature. And ended up history, AP history and all that in school. Because I was reading, I could read and write and do all of that at a super early age. And there's nothing wrong with making sure kids are learning, especially if your tax dollars are going for it. And let me remind you of this. Your tax dollars per student at a public school. And I looked into this after we went to Ohio at an event and I almost fell over when they said that they spend $15,000 per student at public school. And in New York, it's even more than that. I almost fell over because my kids, after we homeschooled them, I sent my kids to a Christian school. I still pay the tuition for the public school out of the theft of my tax dollars. So when people come tell me that I can't weigh in on what my tax dollars go for, y'all take a million seats, especially those people who don't even pay into the system what I do. But it's less than what I pay, way less. It's way more than what I pay for my kids at a Christian school. No joke. It's insane. And we went to this event in Ohio. It was like 15,000. I can't remember the other part. It was like 15,200 something per student. Public school. Do you really feel in a lot of these schools that your kids are getting that kind of, for what the state is paying per student in tax to educate them? Do you really feel like those kids are getting that? And in New York, it's like more than that. So why wouldn't schools use that money and have that same effort to teach kids who excel in one subject over another? I'm telling you, this is why people homeschool. This is why they're leaving. I think you should all pull your kids out of public schools. Everybody, first off, I think property taxes, you never own your own property. I think property taxes need to be abolished. and that we there should be a graduated sales tax. And from that locality, that's where you fund your police and your firefighters, et cetera, et cetera. Limit government to Article 1, Section 8. We don't have no problems. If there must be a tax, income tax is unconstitutional. Property tax is a joke. You never actually own your own property. People shouldn't be forced to pay for because a lot of their tax dollars are taken and used for entitlement stuff. I mean, for the love. Like, we were literally studying shrimp on treadmills, and we spent $2 million on that. I don't understand that. For what? Like, to have fit shrimp to eat when you're up at Red Lobster? Like, what's up with that? That shrimp scampi? Oh, these are fit shrimp. What? Why? And saying that a kid is gifted, and the way that these people who are protesting against this and criticizing, or who support this and they think that this is so great, do you realize the unspoken racism? And it's a lot. I've just noticed it's a lot of white Marxists saying this. Do you all realize the unspoken racism of trying to argue that children of color cannot be geniuses? In my son's grade, the top performing student in the National Merit for National Merit Scholars was a young female of color. Of course, they're not taught at schools to circle around ethnicity. They go to a Christian school, so everybody's of the kingdom. And that's how they identify. But this idea that you can't have, like, minority students who are gifted. Have people forgotten history? Have they? Like, you all know who invented Nerf, right? I mean, of course, the guy who invented the Nerf gun invented a bunch of other stuff. But I think a lot of kids know because it's Nerf. But like, just there's like, look back at history. Don't you think that this is insane racism to think that there are no minority kids who can be benefited from gifted classes? It's like you have these white Marxists trying to keep everybody stupid and everybody one size fits all. Truly educated people terrify Marxists. Your daily reminder that Karl Marx was a fat, smelly grifter who was a horrible husband. His own kids disliked him and they killed themselves. That's actually a true thing. Very sad. He never made a dollar in his life. He grifted off all of his friends, and his own mother lamented his existence by saying, "I wished Karl would actually earn the capital he talks about. And the only positive contribution that he's ever made is to be worm food." It's your daily reminder.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
So it's headlines time. We got headlines.
And so now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Bill Malugin is with the Texas Rangers at the border. And I will say, when I've been down there with Louis Gohmert before, we saw these 50 cal, the shells from 50 caliber that they would, because drug cartels, literally on U.S. soil. That's the thing that people don't get. Malugin's video shows tracer rounds from suspected cartel machine gun being fired from Mexico into the U.S. And they found all that stuff there. They would, one of the things that Gohmert had said, they'd stand in the shallow parts of the Rio and they would shoot it too, usually as a distraction, because they're not at least stupid enough to try to take out a Border Patrol agent, but they want to distract, which means they got something serious coming across that they need a distraction from. But Alejandro Mayorkas had said back in March that, oh no, safe, legal, orderly immigration system. But Bill Malugin's like, no, we literally watched them from a suspected cartel machine gun being fired from Mexico into the U.S. this morning while we were with the Texas National Guard in Roma, Texas. And they said that the rounds went above one of their observation posts. And they said, like, it's unclear if it's a cartel gunfight, a form of intimidation, or just indiscriminate shooting. What Border Patrol says is that it's done to distract Border Patrol, and that usually means that there's a serious shipment of drugs coming across. And they had said that they know that because they busted one crossing before. So they do something crazy like that as a distraction. Man, that is scary. Because when you got the drug runners up there too, that's... also, NASA's effort, they're trying to bump an asteroid away from Earth. I'm sorry, wait, what? I'm sorry, hello? What? They're trying to bump an asteroid away from Earth. They're going to launch a November mission to deflect a devastating asteroid from hitting Earth. I just say let it hit. By nudging it with a spacecraft. this, why are we only hearing about this now?
Right.
It's NASA's mission to deflect this asteroid. Now, it's going to smash into, the asteroid's called Diddy Moon. It is. Diddy Moon. We're going to talk more about Diddy Moon and the nudging. Oh, man, we've already hashtagged it. Stay with us.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it.
The Dana Show.
You said this president's first love is foreign policy. So why doesn't he know about these things in real time?
Of course he knew about the French being displeased. Let me finish.
Literally had not been aware.
Peter, I would encourage you to ask John Kerry specifically about the context of his comments. The president and the former secretary are also good friends. He relies on his counsel, and as he does of many members of his national security team, but that certainly is not what he was intending to convey. Go ahead.
Oh, boy, it sounds like it, though. It sounds like he was totally trying to convey that. So that was Ducey time yesterday. Yeah, can we just, let's just for giggles, and by the way, welcome back to the Dana Show, Dana Lash here. Just for giggles, let's play that, let's just see what they were talking about, right?
President Biden asked me about it, and I told him, and expressed.
You told Joe Biden that it was not the right.
He asked me, he said, what's the situation? And I explained exactly, he had not been aware of that. He literally had not been aware of what had transpired, and
he literally had not been aware about what transpired. So that kind of sounds like that was not, what did she call it? She said he misspoke or some garbage?
Yeah, misrepresented.
How is that misrepresentation?
Well, I guess
she's trying to split the hair of, he didn't know anything about the deal with AUKUS as opposed to how the French reacted to the deal in AUKUS. So
it's all kind of one and the same. So I thought that the question was very straightforward.
It pretty much was.
Yeah. I mean, he was specifically talking about France's reaction.
Right.
They were displeased, probably because no one in the Biden administration, for all their talk about foreign policy, knows how to knows diplomacy. I mean, that's like one of her oldest allies. Man, they're our besties. I mean, granted, yes. I mean, they were little crazy back in the day, you know, with the whole off with their heads and stuff.
Lady Liberty out of it.
Yeah, they gave us Lady Liberty as a present.
Yep.
How nice is that? Like, that's like one of the best gifts that we've gotten. They're our besties, man. Oh, how are you going to do your bestie like that? Like, Ken, what if you did your boy like that, right?
Telling
you what. Steve, you wouldn't do your boys like that, would you? Mm-mm, no. I wouldn't do my girls like that.
Right.
Just saying, you let them know, like, you know what? Look, this is what's up. So things are getting a little froggy in the Pacific, right? Particularly the Indo-Pacific region and some of the tension coming from the South China Sea, right? China thinks that Taiwan, they won't. They're doing a single white female thing. They will not let Taiwan leave, right? They want to control. They want to be Taiwan. So they're just going to absorb them. So, you know, we're going to have some kind of show of force. And so we're going to do like a little click, right? You can still sit with us, but just not right here on this. And that deal that you had with Australia, the one that was going to take a little bit longer by like 50 years to do, and you were talking diesel as opposed to nuclear propulsion subs, we're just going to kind of take that. They should have just had like an honorary. You know how somebody can be a junior bridesmaid? Be a junior member. I really don't think anything is going to come of AUKUS. I stand in between. So two of my friends, Stephen Yates is on with us, and then Gordon Chang. Stephen Yates has lived in Asia. Gordon Chang has lived in Shanghai and has lived in Hong Kong. They are experts on this. And Stephen Yates ran Radio Free Asia for a while, but then the commies up in Beijing could not stand him. So they did everything they could to run him out. So they, with this, I stand in between them where I land on the AUKUS deal. Stephen Yates hates it with the burning passion of a thousand suns. Gordon Chang, I think they're both super smart. Gordon is still like, we need something. Something's better than nothing. That's kind of his perspective, right? Because there's been such a focus on the Middle East for so long that nobody's paid attention to what's, you know, all the crazy stuff that's been happening in the Pacific. I mean, China literally built an island in the middle of South China Sea, and we're like, this is all ours now.
They're still
We own this. It's all ours. It's like you going and like putting your couch in the street and saying, this road is mine. It's my road now. See my couch. It's right here in the road. That's what they're literally, that's what they're trying to do. You can't do that. It's international waterways. They don't care. They actually made islands. And then they're like, no, no, no. We also have an airport here now. There, nobody lives there. It's a military installation. Same thing. So I'm in between kind of both of them on that. It's not going to matter if, unless there's a little bit, I do think the stuff that's come out, I don't think that this was leaked. I think it came out when it was supposed to come out. The story that we've had people in China, or not in China, but in Taiwan training Taiwanese military. That's the way you do it, by the way. And they've been there for over a year. I think they've been there longer, to be quite frank with you. Because this is really ultimately how it was supposed to go down with the Iraqi military. Instead of having them completely dependent upon the United States military and also United States Air Force, they would have been able to be a little bit self-sufficient. If you don't have air cover, you're not, this is it, especially in that region. So they've been training Taiwan military. And then, of course, then we hear the sub that's out there, which that I don't think was going to come out. That was an accident, because we were hearing back channel from some people, too, that keep an eye out for the story because it's going to come out and it'll be picked up on satellite. So it's not like you're, you know, it's not going to be missed. So I think that was leaked. But I think that it also comes at a time when some of this information, it's actually pretty good to come out, because I seriously doubt that China was aware of a lot of the stuff that was going on. And then, of course, you had that big naval exercise that the United States carried out with Japan and all their and the naval fleets in New Zealand and that as well. So see, New Zealand, I'm not a fan of Jacinda Ardern. And I think they're pretty, I think they're tyrants when it comes to locking everybody down for this virus. But they had some of the, they were out there too. Of course, I think that they recognize that it's better for them to support. Look, I am not a fan of, not at all. I'm almost anti-war. The only reason I can't say I'm fully anti-war is because I only like it in, as the last resort. But oh man, just like with any conflict, when you push people who are moving heaven and earth to not get involved, to get involved, burn it to ash. To where it's a story generations from now. And that, you know what? That also will be a deterrence to have other wars, other conflicts, if you realize it can get that bad. I don't want to see anything like that. I want it all averted. I don't want anybody, I don't want my kids, I don't want anybody's kids wrapped up in this. Especially when it's, I mean, China, you have enough land. For the love, you got enough stuff up there. Why do you need, it's just, why do you need more? Maybe you, they can't even keep the lights on for people there now. They actually had disruptions. Part of the, some of the disruptions with the supply chain, at least with some of the stuff that's coming out of Chinese factories has had come because they didn't have power. That's what happens when you have a communist government and you're not allowing the system to run as a system should. And so then you have to make cuts in other places. So they actually had to cut power. Insane. Okay, a couple other things here. I can't believe I didn't get to these two headlines. Ultra woke Germany reveals dedicated parking spaces for LGBTQ and migrant drivers. What? Yeah. Dude, yeah. It's like super inclusive, I guess. Daily Mail has this story. It is, I know, I'm right there with you, man. It's Hanauer Parkhaus. Built three diversity parking spaces in their car park. They said they're going to help people who feel a special need for protection. Guns do that too. They're going to monitor the, see, I don't need a special parking spot. I have a, my friend Miss 9mm. But they said that Parkhaus, they're going to build three diversity parking space. But if you can't have, if you're a country that won't allow people to defend themselves, then, you know. Thomas Morlock is the chairman of the supervisory board of HPG, blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. So it's just a rainbow across some spaces. And that's supposed to be, like, how is that enforced?
Yeah, how do you prove?
Like, do you walk up and you're like, oh, you see you're a lesbian? Go kiss that chick. Prove it. Like, how do you enforce that? I don't, how do you prove that someone is to where they can have that parking spot. That makes no sense to me. Right? And then did they just go, oh, for the migrants, you can park here too. So there's no special migrant, you know, graphic. It's just, you got to go into the rainbow too. Whatever. Right?
I'm thinking, you know how when you have a handicap exemption for parking, uh-huh, and you get that blue thing you hang on your,
do you got to put that stuff
rear
on your
view
tags?
Mirror? Like, is that what they're handing out for these parking spaces? Like, I'm
sorry, sir. Do you have your? Oh, wait, I got to do it in my German accent. Sorry, sir. Do you have your gay tag?
Sounds more Russian.
It almost sounds like, yeah, it does. I can't do a German accent. Insert joke there. But no, I can't though.
But it doesn't make sense. Like, what? Mm. How do you? You can't just roll up there and park, and then get out and sachet. I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do to prove that you belong there at the parking spot?
And I'm not quite sure.
Are these spots like really close? Like closer than the pregnant people get or the handicapped people get?
I don't know. This place is in Hanau. It's in 15 miles east of Frankfurt. I mean, I'm here. It's in my headlines, but I moved it because I was so mystified. Because I thought it was going to be some kind of like special, like, I don't know, maybe there's like a disco ball over the parking spot. I don't know. But yeah, it's just like regular parking spaces. Can I just add that those are like really comfortable parking spaces? They're super wide. You know, they're like, you can, and they drive tiny little cars over there. That's like a nice, that's a bougie parking space. That's super bougie.
In the span of those three spots, it looks like you could put four regular parking spots there.
Mm-hmm. They have so much room for activities. I mean,
they even quoted in here in the story. It's like, it's not immediately clear how the authorities intend to monitor whether people who park in
these
spaces are in fact part of that community or are migrants.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how that's all supposed to work. I mean, they can do whatever they want, I guess, but that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Only gay people can park here. Okay, and the migrants. Wait, what?
Do you get two spots if you're a gay migrant?
Ooh, can you just, yeah, and the three spots, can you just parallel park in all three spots?
Exactly.
Or at least just two? No, I'm a gay migrant, so I get two of these spots. That's actually a really brilliant question. I'm not quite sure. So can we go back to this real quick, what the time we have remaining? Can we go back to Diddy Moon real quickly? So we were having this crazy conversation about this. So Kane was like, who do you trust more? The story that we had in headlines, a very innocent story, and it was how NASA's going to launch a November mission to deflect what is called a devastating asteroid from hitting Earth. It's like 500 and something feet wide. And then it's Diddy Moon. Diddy Moon orbits Didymos, which is the planet, and that's over 2,500 square feet or meters, whatever. Screw the metric system. But it's... anyway... they're going to send a little spacecraft to just nudge Diddy Moon away out into deep space. And so Kane and we were all talking on break, and Kane's like, well, who do you trust more to do this, NASA or something like SpaceX? And we're all like, SpaceX. Because here's why. Here's a headline for you. Football field sized asteroid NASA missed would have been detected. That's the headline. There's nothing else. The Near-Earth Object Surveyor Space Telescope probably could have spotted the asteroid on a different part of its orbit on its trajectory towards Earth. Dude, now they were freaking out over Diddy Moon, this little bitty rock, 524 feet. That is, what did we say? 4.6 miles away from Earth?
Right.
This thing was 153,000 miles away! Half the distance of the moon!
Right.
And we didn't know until it was already past us the next day. So that's not, I don't want them doing it. Like, I don't want them
to pass between the moon and the Earth and they still didn't catch it.
No. Like, how would you, don't they have people like on television whenever they go into NASA or any of these things? It's always, there's always someone whose whole job is to just look through the telescope all the time. I don't know.
I don't have a lot of confidence. Basically, that's what it is. I don't have a lot of confidence in NASA, but what I've seen with like Virgin Galactic or
Amazon.
SpaceX.
Because we don't like Amazon. Because all Jeff Bezos does is bitch.
And
He gets mad at Elon Musk and Richard Branson. They haven't picked fights with nobody. Jeff Bezos started picking a fight with Elon Musk. He didn't pick a fight with anybody. And that's all Jeff Bezos does. He gets out there and he looks like a villain from Scooby-Doo. He just gets out there and he's mean and he's jealous. Richard Branson seems like a complete gentleman. You don't see Richard Branson doing any of this shady behavior, do you? I don't know if it's because he's British or older. I don't know. But he just hasn't, you know, good heavens. All right. So things that we've learned today. Dear white people, a white man wants to cancel a black man on Netflix. We've also learned that NASA missed a space rock that could have ended us. Dang, we came close. And what else? Oh, New York Times said 11 trillion people. There were 11 trillion kids hospitalized from COVID. Actually, no, revise that. 63,000, maybe.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
I think we should just, like, I don't know, we should just do karaoke for the rest of the day. Just the rest of the show. We're winding down this program. Folks, do not forget to go and subscribe to the newsletter, Substack, Chapter and Verse. And, of course, I'll be in Pennsylvania at a fun event up there with some of our affiliate families tomorrow. I hope that we do go through some, what is it, the Amish? I don't want to offend the Amish or the Quakers. I don't know where they are. Where are the Quakers at? Where are the Amish? Do they have like territories?
Where you're going is nowhere near the Amish. Sorry to tell you that.
I mean, I was saying that it was just goth as all get out. I mean, it's like a Tim Burton movie. And I say that like that. I cannot give a higher compliment to anything than that. That is like the peak of my compliments.
You're closer to New York City than the Amish where you're going.
Oh, no, I don't like that. I don't have to have no vax pass, right?
No.
Because that wasn't going to happen. All right, sorry, Kane, sitting in stupidity.
All right, so you know the reasons people are hesitant for the vaccine. They're uncertain about its efficacy. They're uncertain about any long-term problems with it. But New York Governor Hochul says it's actually this.
A person in Chinatown afraid to take the subway. I heard so many people say they're afraid to go get vaccines because they'd have to get on a subway and they're afraid of being assaulted in this very city.
Yeah. And? You've been seeing the people pushed in front of subway trains? Good grief.
They'd have to get on a subway and afraid of getting assaulted? That's why they're not getting the vaccine? Okay.
Yeah. All or right, maybe then. Because okay. The vaccine assaults you too. I'm just saying. Anyway, folks, have a great night. Have a great weekend. God bless. Back with you on Monday.